The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
No exception to the rule. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. This is your host, Melvin Prince Yannick, and on the show called Life's a Gamble. So for the last seven Mondays, I've been coming on here and I've been just humble, just appreciative and humble. And so now I have to put myself in that veteran mode. I have to come on here and ask Philadelphia, what's the problem? Why aren't you fighting? Why aren't you upset? Why aren't you at the table? Why are you letting so much happen that you have some control over, but you keep majoring in the minors? And I don't understand at all this whole vice president race, president race. You know, some of the poorest people don't have a nickel in this quarter right here. But you just convinced that somebody who went to Penn, somebody who went to Duke, or somebody who went to a non-HBCU can articulate your feelings as if you are recognized for your feelings when you're so in poverty in the city right here that you stand in front of them and say, well, I got freedom of speech. You don't even have freedom of life. They control you. If they tear down your housing development and move you and relocate you, you don't have a say-so after 30 years. But you're the most humble group of people in this city right here. You know, you don't. So I want to know how many people went to the board meeting at the Philadelphia Housing Authority. So if you don't go to the board meeting, I'm going to have to bring the board meeting here. So the Board of Commissioners, the meeting agenda for Thursday, July 18th, 2024. The first resolution. Resolution authorizing a contract for phase three of the Fair Hill Development Initiative with Blank Corporation. Okay, if you don't know where Fair Hill is, it's at 10th and York. It's in North Philly. They're authorizing a contract to go out for someone to oversee the buildings that was tore down there. You drive past there now, you see that all the low rises are gone. The high rise and remain, but it's split up two contractors. One contractor has the south high rise, another contractor has the north high rise. So when I read these resolutions, I'm going to go all the way down to the fifth question, because they're all questions, whereas, and that's just to describe who the people are that got the contract, what they've, you know, what their ability is, and what the work look like, have a description of the work. So I'm going to go. It says, whereas it is recommended that the amount to be expended under the contract shall not exceed $44,583,680. $44,583,680. So once again, we got $44 million in North Philly. Now, I want somebody to call up. Don't tell me about the police station that they're trying to build. Don't tell me about what Temple's doing. 10th and York, right there in that small pocket right there. The Housing Authority Board authorized $44,583,680. Some people want to call the radio station because they think they got something to say. They want to call the radio station, and it's a feel-good moment. They want to try to impress people by what they know about something, or they want to have their emotions based on what they think they know about something. So tell me what's happening in North Philly. Don't tell me how you feel. If you can't get out there, if you aren't a participant in this process, don't tell me who to vote for, because whether you voted for them or not, there's $44 million on resolution number one that's going to North Philly. Let's go to resolution number two. So resolution number two, resolution authorizing the Philadelphia Housing Authority to acquire the St. Anthony's development. So whereas the Housing Authority, I'm going to go with the first whereas, I think is important. Whereas the Philadelphia Housing Authority desires to acquire the St. Anthony development, which is a 58-unit low-income housing tax credit development. And I think they're going to acquire it for, whereas they're looking to acquire this for $5,810,000. So let me understand something. So $44 million and $5 million, we got almost $50 million just in those two resolutions. But you call up and talk about everything else, and yet that's 50. This is this is people who manage and monitor the very lowest of the lowest, either dilapidated housing, vacant housing, abandoned housing that are in the area. Now, this $5 million is, this area, this building is at 2309 Carpenter Street. So you're talking about addresses like 2302, 2307, 2309, 2313, 2317, 2327, 2335, 2339, 2343. And then now you go into, that's Montrose Street. Then you go into 915, 917, 919 South 24th Street. Then you go into 923, 927 South Bonsall Street, 930 South 23rd Street. These are the properties that will be acquired with $5,810,000. And because we are just so into ourselves, you know, we are stubborn. I'm not going to call you stupid. I'm not going to call you ignorant. I don't talk that way. You're just stubborn. Like, you will not take a look at the bigger picture. And so when you do not take a look at the bigger picture, so much money is just ran past you that it's ridiculous. So let's go to another resolution. Resolution authorizing a funding agreement between the Philadelphia Housing Authority and the Philadelphia Housing Authority Development Corporation for the acquisition and development of affordable mixed-use housing developments. So there's two agencies. There's PHA and then there's PHDC. PHADC, Philadelphia Housing Authority Development Corporation. They're entering into a partnership, an agreement. And let's see how much that agreement is going to cost taxpayers. Whereas Philadelphia, the PHA desires to grant and convey to PHADC an amount not to exceed $200 million from the Move to Work funding under the funding agreement. $200 million. This is amazing. This is amazing that you would sit and let this much money go through our city and not put yourself in a position to tell me, you know, how we're going to be a part of it. What does it entail? You know, why aren't you at the meetings? I mean, granted, you can't ask any questions. You can't prepare for any questions till you get to the meetings because, you know, you just come to the meetings. But maybe you can go online. Maybe you can pour this information up. Maybe you can come to the meeting and ask some questions. You know, this is still Philadelphia, y'all. Right now, we at $250 million, $44 million, another five on that, $49 million, another $200 million. This is just sloppy. This is just bad, and it's sloppy. And you guys got to get better at this right here. Now, regardless if this is a Republican show or not. This has nothing to do with Republican or Democrats, although the Democrats are controlling, you know, the majority of Democrats control this resolution and control what I'm reading right now. It's inconsequential. It's irrelevant. So I'm on Resolution 4. And Resolution 4, resolution authorizing the submission of a grant application to the United States Environmental Protection Agency, Office of Environmental Justice and External Civil Rights for the Environmental and Climate Justice Community Change Grant Program for the West Park Apartments. Everybody know where West Park is, right? Still in West Philly, isn't it? Okay, so let's see. Let's see what this is going to do for us. Whereas the EPA, whereas PHA wishes to the board authorization by this resolution to enter into an agreement with a CBO and apply to EPA for the EPA Community Change Program funding in the amount of $20 million for West Park Redevelopment Initiative. $200 million, $44 million, $44 million, $5 million. Now we put another 20 on that. So where we at? We at $270 million. This is one day's worth of work, y'all. This is one day's worth of work. These are the resolutions that come out every third Thursday of the month through the Philadelphia Housing Authority. They have committees that sit in and they go over these resolutions, and the people at the committees who chair the committees all read through it, supposed to read through it, have a vast understanding of it or intimate understanding of it, and then they bring it to the board. Having it all being completed in a way where everybody has understanding, but they have understanding. The people don't have understanding. And make it make sense. They have understanding, but the people don't have understanding. And there are total 5, 6. There's 6 resolutions. I read 4 of them. Out of 4 resolutions, you have almost $300 million. Now, I would ask if you could go online and take a look at the rest of them. I don't want to read all of them because I want to talk about something else, but I'm just angry at the mere fact that every time I go to a board meeting, I see more paid residents at the board meeting than I do citizens. I see more paid residents than I do Philadelphia taxpayers. I see more paid I see more paid employees than I do residents. And you have to participate. They're not the big bad giants, man. The executive director's been there almost going on 10 years now. You know, after the meeting, he'll come to the floor. You can have a conversation with him. You know, don't mind talking with you. You know, if you got some personal needs, meaning that, you know, they playing loud music too loud where you live at and stuff like that, you tell him. But you can no longer sit idle and not be at these meetings right here. Granted, they don't come to all the sites like they used to because of a bad incident that had happened some time ago. But right now, you need to get to these board meetings. You do not need to let $300 million just go in this community out the door and you not participate in any kind of way. That is ridiculous. So I'm going to take a break, and when I come back from break, I'm going to pick up phone lines. I see a few folks have called in. I'm also going to talk about my next topic on the other side of the break. So let's go to break.
At home, at work, or on your travels, you don't have to miss a minute of your favorite WWDB shows. Download the free WWDB app to listen anywhere. You can also stream us live, listen to podcasts, and learn more about our great shows at WWDBAM.com. And you can always tune in on your phone or any smart speaker. Tell Alexa, play WWDB AM 860.
What's going on, y'all? It's your boy, Wanya Mars, the boys to men. Motown Philly back again, doing a little invisible symptom jam. Autoimmune symptoms can be invisible to the eye, so don't fail to identify. You lost your groove, can't move, hard to walk, talk, balance off. Remedies exist. Advocate today.
Supported by Romeon Rare Patient and Advocate and the LEMS Family Association, trendsetters in empowering patients in every community to self-advocate and get a diagnosis. Go to rarediseases.org.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away.
Okay, okay, we're back. So the PHA was the first thing. The second thing that I want to talk to you about is the prison system. The prison system, CF, is comprised of 8 buildings, and in those 8 buildings, each one of those buildings have 4 pods. Each pod hold probably 80 or more prisoners to one correctional officer. Somebody got to help me out. That is just not illegal, but it's a problem. And so before you talk about the presidency, before you talk about wars overseas or anything simple in another city or another town or another state, you know, let's deal with one, why you're not at a PHA meeting, and number two, you got to explain to me how we have these prisons that are 110% occupied and 40% staffed. 40% staff. Make it make sense to me. You putting the corrections officer in such a bad situation, such a compromising situation. So if you're going to ask the governor, who is a potential vice president candidate, you're going to ask him something? Ask him, how do we get the 40% occupancy up with prison guards up to 90%? Clyde, welcome. The life's a gamble. Are you rolling the dice or are you passing them?
Nah, I'm rolling them.
There you go.
How you doing, Prince?
There you go. I'm always like to hear somebody that's rolling, man. You know, I'm leery about the ones passing them. You know what I mean? Because I feel that if you ain't going to stand for me, you ain't going to stand for yourself, you ain't going to stand for me.
Prince.
Yes.
That second resolution that you read, St. Anthony's Project.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a question.
Yes.
You have the William S. Pierce School mm-hmm. a block from me, right around
mm-hmm.
the corner.
Mm-hmm.
It's been sitting there since 2007, idle. It was owned by, it was took over by Universal Companies in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
It's been closed since 2007. What is being done with that?
Well, see, this was the purpose why the resolution was proposed, because they wanted to acquire. They didn't have the St. Anthony's building. They didn't have the rights to it.
Right.
And they wanted to, it consists of, it. I'm reading right here, it consists of both 38-unit senior housing building on 2309 Carpenter Streets and all mm-hmm. those 15 family townhomes that I read to you. And so the housing authority did not own it. Some developer owned it. But the housing authority wanted to fix it up, you know, and acquire. In order for them to fix it up and rehabilitate it, they have to acquire it. So they're spending $5 million to acquire it in order to do exactly what it is that you said. Like, stuff is just sitting around, and all of a sudden, you know, somebody has an interest in purchasing it and buying it, you know. And so, but the question that I have, like you would have, is, you know, why was it sitting so long? Where's the value of a homeowner when you got vacant properties just sitting around for so long? You know, and so to your point, you know, Universal Companies, my opinion, if not this year, within 5 years, it'd be defunct. You know, the CEO and the guy indicted, he's been 8 years in prison, the CFO. Let the CEO do what he wanted to do. He's been 18 months in prison. I mean, the chairman of the board is you know, absent. You know, he's missing in action. You know, MIA. You know, and so now, you know, Origin Reed's gonna probably close down. University Charter School's gonna probably close down. No, neither one of them charters was extended. So if you look up, all the properties are being sold. I think they just sold to Martin Luther King down there. Have been sold by their partners and stuff like that. So they doing a fire sale right now. They selling everything that they got their name on it, you know. And it, so
it's just amazing because I went to St. Matthew's and I went to William Pierce. And Pierce is just sitting there. It's been sitting there since 2007. And you're trying to add more, you know, more units and stuff like that there. And you had this Galapa building sitting from 24th and Christian, 23rd and Christian to 24th and Christian, to almost the entire block.
Mm.
And it's just sitting there. The building is just sitting there, Prince. I'm amazed.
Here's the thing. Once again, you know, I don't do the Democrat Republican thing, you know, but somebody should have put a coalition together in which to acquire that building. Now, as far as I know, down South Philly, all of your leaders that are in political office look like you, Clyde. Am I right? Am I missing one?
Pretty much.
President of Council, he from South Philly, right? Kenyatta Johnson, Jordan from South Philly, right?
Mm-hmm. The only one is Squiller, right?
And, well, Squiller's not on your side, though. Isn't Squiller on the other side near the water?
I think Broad Street.
Yeah. Squiller work is done. You see Board in Washington? Squiller making it happen. I ain't gonna hold you up. So, and your council person just came off a heavy indictment a year or two ago. So, you know, he got walked this tightrope line, you know what I mean? He was walking it before, now he gotta walk it afterwards. You know, Jordan Harris, you know, don't know too much about him. I think he's Sigma, you know, but in reference to him getting, I know every state rep, regardless of them being African American, they Democrat from Philadelphia, they got their hands tied when they go up state house because there's too many Republicans and too many white Democrats who think like white Republicans up there. So every time they put a bill in, they're going to be challenged, you know. So they're going to come back and give you peanuts, you know, without the popcorn, you know, and you accept that. Because other than you being on the phone right now, hearing something that affects South Philadelphia, there's nobody else that cares, and there's nobody else that really give a darn. That's how come this upcoming election is baffling to me, because everybody keep thinking because you got an African-American person up there that it means something. African-Americans aren't unified enough. They aren't together enough. They, you know, South Philly's still together since the Mama's Parade. You know, and Kenny went against the grain on a lot of stuff that I was amazed. So every time you think you've seen everything, sometimes you see something new all the time. You know, Kenny's Italian, isn't he? Or he Catholic? One of the two.
Catholic,
but one of the two. Kenny, the only one I know that went against the South. He from South Philly and went against, he tried to take the Columbus statue down. He took the Rizzo statue down. He got rid of the Mama's Parade. I mean, wow. I mean, I was like, wow. Even Michael Nutter, even Wilson Good, Mayor Streets, none of them was going to mess with the Mama's Parade, although the same white guys that were wearing blackface on the Mama's Parade when they was mayor were the ones who wind up, who Kenny said, you know what, just for doing that, you're going to cause this whole Mama's Parade to be canceled. And he did. And so y'all don't stand up, not y'all, not you included, but there's a group of folks in the city. No, I ain't going to say that. There's a group of folks in the city that can stand up, that can fight, that choose not to. And I just love these weak guys that stand behind the women and get them to call up and get them to fight for them. You know what I mean? I'm like, are you kidding me? You putting the weakest wrestler up there so she could scream the loudest. Well, also, she cried the hardest and she bruised the fastest. Just let you know. For all the guys putting them weak women up there, they bones break faster and they cry the hardest, like for a long time. Like, you might cry till we put a splint on there and fix it. She gonna cry even when you put the splint on there and when you fix it. Why? Because she is upset that you let her get hurt. Am I right? Of course I'm right. Of course I'm right, man. So what's up with the prison system, man? Talk to me a little bit about this, man. How is it that we are accepting?
I don't know. I couldn't put my finger on it. And, you know, most of the employees, I'm just I'm just speculating. I don't know the figures or the numbers, but I think maybe 40 to 60% of the prison guards are female.
It's a good percentage. I don't know if it's that high yet, but I tell you what, since the last five classes, right? The last five classes, I'm going to tell you, the last five classes has always had more than four people compromised, men and women, and some of them had to be prosecuted.
Wow.
Some had to be prosecuted, because if you have any sexual interaction with any of the prisoners, that's an abuse of authority. And the problem is that you got some of the guys up there that wear the stripes, some of the sergeants, lieutenants, and captains and stuff like that. They think they can have the pick of the litter, the young girls that's coming in there. And so they threaten them with leaving them on the quad, leaving them on the pod, locking them doors and leaving them on there with 80 men. So what's the charge of a man rape a prison guard? Is a charge. He just get it added on, right? You get added on to what he already in there for.
Yeah.
But you get credibility for taking something that wasn't his, you know?
And he's going nowhere.
And he gets the same credit when they give it to him. So you going to go hide somewhere and knock a guard off, and then you decide you ain't going to bring him no cell phone in or nothing else in, you know, then, you know, he got the right to say, hey, you know, knock the one. You ain't got to wait till you get pregnant. You say, hey. You know, but the mere fact that when you got that many people in a place where you only got one, now this one guard can't walk everybody to the bathroom. She can't send everybody to go get meds. She can't watch. It is ridiculous, man. That means some services are not being met and nobody's talking about it. First, you didn't talk about it because you're an African-American woman at the head of it. Now you're not talking about it because you need time to fix it. And you got another African-American woman at the head of it. Are you kidding me, man? Are you absolutely kidding me? Don't talk to me about the vice president. You know, she ain't president. She the vice president until she is president. Don't talk to me about what's going on in Florida, about the floods and stuff like that. It ain't flooding up here. Don't talk to me about what's going on in Massachusetts, Michigan, or nowhere else. When you got problems right here, right in your backyard, you got the poorest areas, got the most money. Do you realize we building over 400 houses, 400 units, they call them. They don't call them houses. All they're houses, they call them 400 units. And that's the low end. Number could be more. In a place where the requirements is that you make less than $26,000 a year, you know, that you single, 3 to 4 kids. And so when you look at that, do the math, 400 units times this kind of criteria, what are you looking to produce? What kind of fruit are you looking to produce in the next 5 years? Next 6 years, next 10 years, tell me, you're looking to produce the same commodity that was on the plantation some 30 years ago.
Very limited, man. Very, very, very limited.
Oh, well, you don't know. Some of them might turn out to be, you know what? I know from experience what they're going to turn out to be. I've seen this picture before. I read this book before. I've seen this. So all you're going to do is get them development. You just keep building. You're going to move them into something bright, brand new. I know something built 6 months ago. It looked like it's 6 years old now. Don't nobody from upper management or don't nobody from planning or don't nobody from engineering drive past 2 o'clock in the morning and see people sitting out all night blasting music, you know what I mean, smoking weed. Mm-hmm. Don't nobody do that. They just build them. And I'm not saying they should. I don't know the protocol. You know what I mean? I don't know if you should, but I'm saying that, you know, the taxpayers are getting what they paid for because they haven't seen what they paid for.
Mm-hmm.
Clyde, hold on for a minute. You got time to hold on for a minute?
Yes, sir.
All right, then. Let's take a break and we'll come right back.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. We leave no warrior behind. Wounded Warrior Project is a nonprofit organization created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war. Whether those scars are physical or mental, we're here to make sure that they heal. And whether it's helping those with post-traumatic stress disorder live a normal life again, or giving much-needed support to injured warriors and veterans hospitals, because no one deserves our help more than the men and women who risk their lives to keep us safe. Wounded Warrior Project, We never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Learn more about what we do at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
You got to know when to hold up. Know when to fold up.
All right. Clyde.
Yes, sir.
So look, I need for you to talk to me a little bit because, you know, I since Andrea has left, I don't really listen to the other station and stuff like that. I do like Peterson. I do like to offer my opinion at Peterson. But I was talking to a friend that you and I both know, and he said that there's a show on Saturday with two men. It's an alternative kind of lifestyle kind of show. Is that true?
I don't know. I don't listen.
Yeah, right.
I've heard the advertisement.
Right.
But that's you know, that's not up my street.
And that's what I told him. I say, so why are you listening? Like, what is exciting you about listening when at the end of the day, you could just turn it off?
Well, you know, some people had that mindset, you know, Prince, of the Art of War and 48 Powers of Law, of just, it's like monitoring, in other words, to see if it's a slip up, something said out of the ordinary. And some people do that, you know, some people do that. That's their bag. You know, for me, even if I was put in that position, I wouldn't do it because it's just not something that, you know, I espouse to. I mean, if that's what you want to do with your life and that's how you want to live, that's fine. But you can't force feed me anything.
It's a waste. It's a waste of mental energy. You know what I mean? It's a waste of trying to decipher, you know, why they're doing it. And I think it needs to be talked about because now I think that some people think that they're in a position to give us anything because we go get our hair cut from anybody, we eat food from anybody, you know, we let anybody in our neighborhoods, we let anybody in our spaces and stuff like that, you know. And so that way, and so now they feel as though that they don't have to answer to anybody, and so don't let anybody come in your house, don't let anybody do what they want to you. And they look like you too. There was never, never a show like that under Georgie Woods. There was never a show like that that Votan Lee would have dealt with. Never Reggie Bryant. Never Nick Telefel. Never. When you had strong men that dealt with programming and stuff like that and how we going to position ourselves in the community, never would that have been the chosen show for the only first black station in the city. And that's, how embarrassing is that? You got the title, the only or first, and yet now you got a real live show in there that deals with nothing but men, dealing with men?
Well, not to bash, this factual information. You know, it seemed that it had taken a turn left. You know, I remember, you know, calling one of the shows because of saying that they were only three African-American-owned stations in the country. And basically I corrected some people and said, listen, there's five. You know, you left out Stevie Wonder Station and also Tavis Smiley.
Wow.
So with that, you know, I actually seen representative of the station like, well, there's only four because Stevie Wonder plays music. The last time I checked, they played music Friday night. They played music Saturday morning. They played music
Sunday
they
morning.
Music Sunday morning.
Yep.
They played music. What is this? Late Saturday. After the two guys are on.
Yep, that's the program.
So are you all talk radio or, you know, what, I mean.
What are you? Now, I want you to hold on. Don't hang up. Just hold on. I'm going to, I see Kathy's on the other line. So I'm going to take Kathy, my good friend Kathy, and then I'll be back. So don't hang up, Clyde. Just hold on a minute. Kathy, how are you today?
I'm I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
Great. Thank you for calling back. I know you called last week. Now you call this week. You can make this consistent if you want to. You know that, right?
Oh, thank you for the invitation.
It's always good. I still want to coordinate with you because I have a bunch of young ladies, a bunch of Republicans who have daughters who I told them about you as a civil engineer, as a female civil engineer, and I told them what you did to I-95, putting it back together again. I think that is a great story. I think some of the young ladies would love to sit and kind of pick your brain and stuff like that and try to see if they can find their ways. Now, these young ladies are between the age of 12 and 17, so they're not really little girls, but they are at a crucial age where they're finding themselves or looking for themselves. And so I'd like to put about 7 or 8 of them in front of you and just have you, you know, tell them what it takes to do what it is you do.
I would love that. And it all comes down to education.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They got to start young, and they have to know the math. They have to have a good program to give you the fundamentals of math. Mm-hmm. And from there, you have to enjoy it, and you just keep on going.
So for the last 10 years, because my youngest is 16 now, everyone that I've known, I've encouraged them to go to Kumon. And Kumon is, shout outs to Kumon, K-U-M-O-N. It is a tutorial program. It's a Japanese tutorial program where they specialize in math and reading. Math and reading. And I assure you, if your kid go in there at age 5 or 6, by the time they're 16, you'll never have to sit with them and teach them how to study again. And when they get to college, they'll do so well that you won't be amazed. So, yeah, to your point, you know, I think that from the Republican families and their children, it's not a hard push for them to be focused on their education and to be focused. But I think for them to see themselves in, what are you, like the number 3 position at your company or 2?
I wish. I work with a lot of family members.
Okay.
There are four of the 5 of us, my generation, are involved. And my father, who is the previous generation, is still involved.
Okay.
So there's always a bunch of us. And
There you go. So now what are you doing now in the next 2 minutes? Tell us a little bit about you. Tell the listening audience about you and tell them what you're doing.
Well, the big thing is I'm running for the 168 House seat. Right now, the woman that's in there, Lisa, isn't doing the job. She's more worried about everyone else than our area, and she's not getting it done. So I'm running to make changes so that we head in the right direction.
You said our area. What's our area? What area is our area?
Well,
tell people what area.
It's Radnor, Middletown, Edgemont, and Newtown Square. They just kind of let it go. She's not worried about safety. She's not worried about education. She's too worried about social justice rather than the fundamentals.
Wow.
You can't get ahead without the fundamentals. You can't get ahead without having small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
In Wayne, Pennsylvania, Wayne's falling apart. There's hardly any businesses along Lancaster Avenue. It used to be booming. Now it's a bust.
Now, do you guys have the same problem that the city of Philadelphia have with, I don't know if to call them illegals. It's hard for me to call them. I don't even know what the sense of a word illegal for. I know if I was driving without a license and a tag on my car, it would be illegal. But if you let somebody in that don't have a license, don't have a tag on their car, and you stop them, what do you call it?
That's just craziness. That's what I call it, craziness. I mean, they broke the law to get here. You think they're not going to break more laws? We are getting broken. I mean, you can call them whatever.
Right, and I hope someone like you, get in position because it needs to have a title to it. I remember driving down the road and the cop stopped me and he said, "All right, well, you got a dead tag." I said, what do you mean? He said, this tag goes to our Mercedes. I said, yeah, well, my pink slips allowed me 90 days once I transferred over for it to get to Harrisburg. He was like, okay, yeah, you're right. Go ahead. Okay, so I showed him that it transferred off of my Mercedes to my other car because I want to keep my tag, you know. And so what does a person say that's driving with no license, no registration, no insurance, and no papers? What does a cop do then? There you go.
There's a big difference what they should be doing and what they are doing. My friend just had his car hit by going to dinner in Philadelphia. He decided to return to Philadelphia and have a nice meal with his wife. And as soon as he was walking away, he just locked his car, walked away. Someone came and ran right into the side of him. And the police showed up.
Right.
He had no insurance, no registration. He wasn't from the U.S. And the policeman just let him go because he's like, what am I supposed to do?
See that?
He's not going to pay a fine. He's not going to do any different.
Wow. Ain't that? See? Yeah. See? So that leads me into my next segue. And I still got my guy Clyde online, so that's good. So Vance is coming here. J.D. Vance is coming on Tuesday. He's going to be in South Philly. And I guess he's coming because Kamala's coming in order to have her, make her announcement. So he's coming. And so although I had not a nickel and a quarter of this pick with Trump, I don't know the substantive of him coming. And is he bringing any gifts while he's coming, or if it's just photo ops trying to neutralize the Democratic Party for what they are about to do. You know, see, so I don't like being a part of something just because you want my picture with your picture when you don't really know me. See, I don't feel like giving you leverage and my credibility showing up somewhere. So I probably won't go there, you know, nor do I like it being in Philadelphia that this person picks her next VP. I got a question. So if you bring it to Philadelphia and it's not Josh, does that embarrass Philadelphia since you already ran commercials?
That's a good question. That would be embarrassing if he's not the pick.
Yeah, you're at the Lee Accord Center and all of a sudden there's someone else get picked and you done ran commercials.
That would be brutal.
It would. And Fetterman already said that maybe not so, you know. Fetterman, where did he come from? So he popped back up, you know. First he was, you know, a wounded duck, and now he flying high again with opinions.
Wow.
He's like, I ain't mean to put you on the spot like that.
Getting there. I think he has every bell and whistle on. He probably bought the T-shirt already with his name on it.
Got the hat.
As vice president.
Got the hat, got the little horn and everything. Oh,
yes.
My God. Can you? Oh, my God. Do you realize that?
Oh.
Okay. I mean,
that would be awkward.
That we done took our time again. I'm going to go back to Clyde because I had him on as my guest. Thank you. Okay. Please call me back next week. You know, you got a home here on WWDB 860. I'm going to take a 1-minute break and come back to Clyde. Thank you.
Wonder if you should get tested for colorectal cancer? Well, it's the second leading cancer killer in the U.S., and screening helps prevent it. So if you're 50 or older, it's time. Even if it doesn't run in your family, most often colorectal cancer occurs in people with no family history. And it doesn't always cause symptoms, especially early on, so don't wait for symptoms to get tested. Screening helps prevent the disease by finding precancerous polyps so they can be removed. Remove the polyp, prevent the cancer. Screening also helps find colorectal cancer early when treatment works best. You might be thinking, oh no, not that test. But here's the thing, you have options. There's more than one screening test. Talk to your doctor to find the one that's right for you. No more excuses. If you're over 50, get tested, because colorectal cancer screening really does save lives. A message from HHS and CDC's Screen for Life campaign.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk
Clyde.
Away.
Yes, sir.
Hey, thank you for holding, man. This reminds me of old school radio. You know that? When you can put your caller on hold, take another call, go back to the conversation you once had. You know, notice ain't no three-minute limit here. Ain't no, you know, call back once a week kind of stuff here. It's just ridiculous, man. So just let me throw another thing out there. So I have a book. It's out now. It's called Grandmom's Spirit. And the reason why I wrote this book was because I say in the book that if there was more grandmoms alive, there'd be less black men in prison. And I sincerely mean that. I remember leaving a place one night and couldn't make it all the way home. And I got keys to grandma's house and I stopped past. And it had been like 3:15 in the morning, 3:15. And she heard me come in. She went to the bathroom, put her grandma's gown on, and came downstairs. And she cooked my eggs and cheese, grits and cheese, a couple of pieces of meat to go with it, glass of orange juice. And Clyde, she reached in her bosom and pulled out a $20 bill. And she went back upstairs. And I know I gave grandmama $100 just 2 days ago. For whatever reason, I know she needed it. And I'm like, I'm just looking at her walk away like, where you get this 20 from? And, you know, from that, when it hit me, when I was sitting one night, because I used to work at UPS, so I'm pretty much up at night. You know, I was supervised at UPS, so I'm kind of up at night. And I wrote this book, Grandmom's Spirit, man. It's just filled with about 13 chapters in it. Most of my books are only 13 chapters. I don't go more than that because I think that the substance of a book is more than a bunch of volumes and stuff like that. And so I'm just letting the audience know. So at some point in time, I'm going to give it. I know my friend Tyrone in North Philly, he works with the seniors and stuff like that. And him and I think he writes for the that paper, The Scoop. I think it's The Scoop. But I've been trying to get a couple of them so I can put in the lounge. And so we're going to exchange. You're going to give me the paper. I'm going to give him some books, stuff like that. But what happens, Clyde, if the vice president come here and she chooses somebody else other than Josh as her running mate?
Your guess is good as mine, but that political feel, you know, I mean, I gave you my reservations about that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just amazed at what I've seen in the last month and a half.
Right.
By Biden, you know, not running and doing that incubation of time, Kamala's name came up, but it was like, we don't think she's qualified, Miss Standing Together. And then all of a sudden, a bolt of lightning hit the Democratic Party, and she's like the poster child now. And when the other thing is that it's been a groundswell of money coming from it, but they're not talking about the special interest groups that donated money. That's the part they're going to talk about.
That's a good point. You're absolutely correct. And here's my thing. Folks get it misconstrued. Because there's a bunch of money, campaign money coming in, it's to be used for the campaign. It ain't to be used for anything else. You can say what you want. You know, it's to be used. If you try using it for anywhere else, you go call and ask Blondell Reynolds when she wanted to pay her mom's mortgage or catch her mom's tax delinquent bill up. And she used that campaign money and see what happened to her, you know, because there's a certain thing called the Board of Ethics, you know, and they're not going to let you use that money any way you want to use it. So it's a bunch of money, but, you know, it's not her discretionary fund. And so I think that one who stood a better chance was Hillary Clinton. But I think her arrogance and her ego on the way she came at Barack Obama and the way she thought that she was going to get blessed by the African-American folks like Barack got blessed, cost her, and I would say her husband. Her husband was not a big fan. He didn't help support her at all in any kind of way. He made it worse every time he had a different scandal come out. when she was trying to pursue the presidency of the United States. But I assure you one thing, if I don't know anything, the time I've lived on this earth right here, you will not get an African-American female president before a Caucasian president, Caucasian female president. So I think this is all dog and pony show. This is my opinion, nobody else's opinion. You know, but I didn't leave wagers throughout this city, some big wagers, on this presidency of the United States of America. Just, you know, friendly wagers, my sister, my fraternity brothers, and stuff like that. You know, my friends, you know, somebody even said, let's bet $5. You know what I mean? So I think that it's a good, you know, FanDuel was probably in on this. It's so good. It's so good. It's so good. Look, man, I'm so proud. So glad you called, man. We're not done yet, but I just want to thank you because, you know, I really didn't have room for any other comments that don't concern Philadelphia politics, man. And I ain't got time for egos. I mean, people want to fight other people and people want to name call. I ain't got time for that neither. I got time for, tell me how we going to fix the prison system since it's 80 men on one pod to one correctional officer. And tell me how we going to get the services to those prisoners that's up there. And tell me, is a cell phone in prison still, is it legal now? Because I talked to a bunch of people with cell phones. I'm like, how you get it?
Hey, what don't the? Ask some questions, man.
I don't even know who to ask. The correctional officers, because they take them up there. You know what I mean? I just, you know, I don't. Hey,
let me say this, Prince, real quick. Here's my take, my opinion. I think I said it before on your show. We as a people don't have the backbone that we had in the '60s.
Yeah.
We don't fight for anything. You know, everything is, you know, melancholy with us right now.
Mm.
You know, unless something big happens, and then you know, as I said before, you know, our biggest opportunity to have a world impact was when George Floyd was murdered. We had the world's attention.
They shut that down, though. They created something. Where's Black Lives Matter at now?
I have no idea.
Right.
No idea. And like I said, we had the world's attention.
Well, now, Clyde, I got Viola just hit me up, so I'm going to let you go. I'm going to bring Viola in, and I and I are going to spend the time until we shut the show down. So thank you, man. Okay. Remember, you always got a home here, man. Feel free every Monday. And we'll talk later.
All right.
Yes, hello. Good afternoon.
Hi. Good afternoon. How are you? I almost forgot. You know, I never say late, but right on time.
How about that? Yeah, that's the kind of guy we serve, right? Guys always on time,
absolutely.
Right?
Because just hearing you talk about your book for your grandmother, I've been wanting to do something for my grandmother who we called Nana.
Yeah, we all had a Nana.
I had her longer than I had my mother. My mother was her middle daughter.
Mm.
And my mother died in 1980.
Right.
And my grandmother, Nana, died in 1999.
Mm.
So I didn't have my mother, you know, at a time when I was growing mature. But my grandmother was there. And one of my daughters said one day, she said, you know, Mom, I miss going to Nana's for dinner on Sundays.
Yep.
And it just brought tears to my eyes because I could take anybody to my grandmother's house and she treated them just like she treated me, even though she may have just met them.
My grandma had the best banana pudding from scratch that you could ever want to eat, man. Ever.
My grandmother had the best greens that we would fuss over who was going to get the pot liquor. And I tell you, those days, you know, and listen, I had a great-grandson here the other day. He's 16, and he said, my mom, would you make some greens? And I looked at him and started laughing. Yes, I did make a pot of greens, and he took a jar of them home with him because we saved mayonnaise jars. My grandmother said, if you don't return the jars, you don't get no food. So I always made sure I had those mayonnaise jars clean and ready to go back to her whenever she was going to fix a meal, Thanksgiving or whatever. Well, I tell you.
When the next time you're going to be in Philadelphia?
I'm going to be there probably on Wednesday because I'm taking a lady to Newark Airport that's flying to Germany.
Okay.
I'm called the private Uber.
Where?
I'll probably stop through where the Watermelon Man is, somewhere around there.
Okay.
But I have to take her, I think, in the morning. You give me a text.
Let me know when
I'll send you a text, right.
Yeah, and then that way I can have a book for you, because I want you to call the show and I want you to read excerpts from the book. You know, it's a quick read. So look, my time is about wrapped up. You know, you always got a home here on Monday from 2 to 3.
Yes.
Life's a game. Are you rolling or are you passing the dice?
I'm telling you, listen.
Are you rolling or are you passing?
I don't do neither one.
But if you had
I'm passing the dice. I'll say I'm passing the dice.
Oh, you're giving them up. I'll roll for you then. Thank you so much.
I'm giving them other information, you know.
All right.
But I thank you for being there, and I'm glad that I was able to get in.
All right. Thank you so much.
And hello to all those that are listening.
Yes. Have a great Monday. Talk with you later.
You too. Bye-bye.